Hallelujah. Well, God bless you folks. I hope that you're, you're able to participate. Eddie, you're going to help the folks that are right doing, Eddie, just raise your hand for the folks. He's going to help to coordinate this as well this afternoon, right after the service. So, praise God. As you can see, Pastor Frank, it's a little boxy up here. The machine up there is not working. It decided to go on the blink, that the projector. So I'm going to ask all of you to follow, if you can. The majority of the passages are in the flyer. Not all, but most of them. So I hope you got a flyer. If not, get into the habit of picking one up on your way in, okay? So today we're speaking about transformation, or being transformed from glory to glory. All of us who know Christ as Savior, we're Christians that are being transformed. We're undergoing a transformation, a metamorphosis, so to speak. We're being changed from the old us to the new us. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. These are verses that I normally, they normally come to my mind when people that I know, that I love, are going through a difficult time, when they are stressed, when they're suffering, when they're sick, or going through a challenge in their lives. This is a passage that comes to my mind very, very often. And it is designed for that, but it is designed for so much more. In verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." All things. He works all things together for good to those who love God. No, these all things, what can they be? What all things are we going through? Sometimes we're going through confusing times. Sometimes we're going through stresses in relationships. Sometimes it's financial. We may be struggling with work. We may be struggling with our kids, addictions. It's a number of things that can comprise these all things. It can also be times of success, times of victory, times when we are actually moving forward. And God says that He is able to work all things together for good to those who love Him. And yet, verse 8 cannot fully, I think, be understood without verse 28, without verse 29 that follows it. Because there is a purpose, and there is something that God, I believe, is doing in all of us. If we are just aware that in the tough times, in the good times, in the challenging times, in the moments of our lives when the all things seem to be kind of drowning us, that there is a purpose and there is something that God is working out in our lives. And we see that in verse 29. In verse 29, it says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Check that out. It says, "He also predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son." And this is what we want to look at this morning. I cannot lose sight that during the all things phases of my life, when I'm not very certain, when I'm going through difficult times, when I'm going through hurting times, when I cannot make sense of what's going on, when it seems like things are good and then immediately they're not so good, that I need to understand that God is using these all things to make a major transformation in my life. That He is working deep within me to transform me. When I'm struggling, when I'm hurting, when somebody I love is struggling or hurting, when there is a sickness and illness, then God is doing something. It's kind of like He sets up something in motion when we come to Him in faith, when we receive salvation through Jesus Christ. God calls us to now begin a process that lasts the rest of our lives of transformation, of change, of being molded, of being transformed. It's the word metamorpho or metamorphosis is the word that is used for a transformation process that begins in a cocoon with a little caterpillar and ends with this butterfly that just emerges miraculously. So God is doing something, and it's a good illustration, because in essence it says in Corinthians that We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord. I want you to read that. I don't want any of these words that I'm about to share with you from the Word fall to the ground. There's a passage in the Old Testament from the book of Samuel that talks about the young man Samuel. The Bible says that he was a young boy being raised in church. Literally, he was raised. He was a promised child, born of a promise that God gave a woman. And this young boy, when he was old enough not to be nursing, not to be nursed by his mother had promised him to God. And so she took him to church and she gave him to the priest. And he says, I received this child as a promise. And I made a promise to God that when he was born, I was going to bring him to church and he was going to stay here, to the temple. And so she left the child to serve God when he was just a few years old. And the Bible says that Samuel heard the voice of God. God stood by his side and said, Samuel, Samuel. And at first he didn't understand it was God until he did. And after he realized that God was talking to him, the Bible says that Samuel never let any of God's words fall to the ground. I wish that I had that projector up there, because the projector makes it easier for me to put the words up there in case you haven't followed me in the Scriptures or in the Bible. But to be honest with you, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as you hear the words, and as hopefully you're reading them there as well, there is a process of faith now becoming a part of your life, and he's doing a transforming even through the hearing of his word. Yes. And don't let it fall to the ground. In other words, don't let yourself be distracted by, gosh, it's almost 12:30, and the line is going to start forming. I know you don't do that. I know you don't. I do, but you don't know. The reality is that God calls us to hear his word and to love it so much that we treasure it in our hearts. Amen. And that's really what Samuel was doing. He loved God's word and he took it as God's word, and then he says, I'm going to live this out as best as I can. So in the tough times and in the good times, God is using all things to mold us into the image of his son. It's kind of like he sets Jesus Christ as a model. He sets him up as that model, and he looks at his life, and he looks at his character, and he looks at the way he lived and the way he related to people. He related with love, always. Jesus related with people with great patience. He related to everybody with a sense of faith in God that was unshakable. Jesus Christ, he had self-control. He had joy. I mean, people, they flocked to him. They flocked to Jesus. Kids were drawn to Jesus Christ. He demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit in its fullness. Faith, self-control, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. All of this was part of it. And God says, you know what? Armando made a decision to follow Christ today. So now, he has been born anew. His spirit that was dead in trespasses and sins is now made alive. And so now, here he comes, and he, boy, he doesn't look a whole lot like Jesus yet, but I'm going to start working on him. Amen. You know, I'm going to start working, and I'm going to start scrubbing out that stuff that's been accumulated over such a long time. You know, when we come to Christ, if you come younger, praise God, because there's not as much baggage in your life. Amen. But when we come to Christ a little bit later, we've had a lifetime to accumulate bad stuff. Can I get a big amen? Amen. Yeah. And the thing is, and Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's talking to them in the upper room. It's just a few hours before he is to be crucified. It's just a few hours before he goes to the cross, is beaten, is whipped, is nailed to a cross, a crown of thorns placed upon him, a spear thrust in his side. Before all of this, he begins to tell his disciples that all of this is going to happen and that he's going to have to leave. And the Bible says that the disciples got really, really down, really worried. And in chapter 14 of the book of John, Jesus, get this, the disciples are not going to go to the cross, Jesus is. The disciples are not going to suffer, Jesus is. The disciples are not the ones that are going to be spat upon, beaten, mistreated. No, it's Jesus. But Jesus is worried about them, and he tells them, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hallelujah. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And I am going to the Father, and I'm going to prepare a place just for you. So that where I live, you can live too. He says, if it wasn't that way, I would tell you. But it is that way, so I'm telling you. So, in all of this, he's comforting them, he's telling them, and through all of this, he's trying to let them know, listen, life is going to be tough. All things are going to come against you. And in the midst of all of these things, I am going to be doing a work in you. Later on in chapter 15, he begins to kind of expound on this. And he says, when you come to me, when you come, look at it this way. He says, it's like I'm a tree and you're the branches. I'm a vine and you're the branches. And you're going to produce fruit. But only if you stay connected to me. That's what's in verse 5 of John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. What fruit? You notice it's fruit, not fruits. And the fruit is the fruit that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Here Jesus is saying, if you abide in me, if you stay connected to me, if you let your life be defined by me, if you choose to obey the way that I tell you to live, then your life is going to bear fruit. And what fruit is that? It's found in Galatians 5. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You notice he says, if you abide in me, if you don't abide in me, you can't produce this fruit. On my own, I cannot produce this type of love. I cannot produce this type of peace. On my own, I don't have the resources. It is impossible for me to have self-control. It's impossible for you to produce this kind of fruit. Only if we remain connected to Jesus Christ will we be able to see this miracle come to pass in our lives. As much as I want to, I cannot be patient. As much as I want to, I cannot be gentle. As much as I want to, I cannot love my wife the way Jesus tells me to love my wife. There was a lady over there that said, amen. In Spanish service. And then I followed up quickly, and my wife cannot love and respect me the way she's supposed to either. The reality is that I am a poor image and reflection of the glory of Jesus Christ on my own efforts. Now, why is that? It's because of the reality that all of us are born dead. We are born dead in sin. Ephesians 2, verse 1 said, and you were all dead in your trespasses and sins. All of us were conceived in sin. We were born with a fatal disease, sin. And as a result, we're spiritually dead. We're not spiritually alive. So we're not connected to God. So the only thing we produce is the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are also found in Galatians 5:19. Look at these. The Apostle Paul gives a short list of the works of the flesh. This is when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. By the way, I don't have any trouble producing this kind of fruit in my life. I hate to admit, I'm not bragging. I'm not proud of it. The reality is sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. I've mentioned before, right? There's no mom, no dad that has to teach a toddler to say no. There is nobody that had to teach me how to lie or steal. It came naturally. It was naturally to all of us. That is our human nature. That's why we need to be born again. That is why we need something superhuman to enter into our lives. That's why we need God in our life. Because God says, okay, Armando, you're born again. I say it is because you have trusted in what my son has done. So now you are born in righteousness and holiness. But there's a lot of stuff in there that's accumulated that needs to go. It's like the Lord needs to take this heavenly broom, you know, and sweep out the floor of my heart. He's got to apply that spiritual Clorox to my soul. It's something that only he can do. I can't do it. Why? Jesus says, only if you're connected to me. Only if you follow me. Jesus, glorious, perfect, full of love and grace and mercy. Armando, not quite there. But the Lord says, he is my son. He is the other brother's after this one, the firstborn. And because he is, now the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in him. And now, here's the thing. God is sovereign. God is in control. God is the one who moves everything there is. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. At the same time, in his sovereignty and wisdom, he has chosen us to have certain accountability for our lives and the way we turn out. Do I have to repeat that, or did everybody get that? Amen. He has given us a certain amount of responsibility in how our lives play out and how we become Christ-like. Amen. You know, Jesus said, you love me? Yes, I do, Lord. Do what I say. You love me really, really, really? Yes, Lord, you are Lord. You can't call me Lord unless you do what I say. You know, and it becomes an understanding in us that if we're going to change and if this fruit is going to be real, then we have to acknowledge, by the way, our sin. We have to acknowledge that God is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess of our sin, and that he is able, because with God there is nothing impossible. He's able to do the impossible. And on my own, I can't do it. I can't sweep away this anger, this bitterness, this unforgiveness, this lack of self-control. I can't do anything about it unless I say, Lord, help me today. I choose today to do this. Let me tell you something. There's a verse in the Old Testament, again, in the life of King David. King David was wanting to buy a piece of land. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, I think. He wanted to buy a piece of land so that he could make a sacrifice to God. And in that piece of land, it was owned by a man named Araunah, and he goes up to him and says, sell me the land. And he says, what do you need it for? He says, I need it because I need to make a sacrifice to God. And the man says, oh, it's for God. You don't have to buy it from me. I'll give it to you. Here's the deed. I'll just transfer it over to your name. And King David, he says something so simple but so profound. He says, no. He says, I will pay you the full price because I will not offer my God that which costs me nothing. Amen. Yes. Let that sink into our soul for a minute. He says, I will not offer God that which costs me nothing. From the day that you were born again, when you received salvation's great gift, there begins a process of transformation. There begins a process of choice, a decision that we each have to make. The choice is, do we follow God's way or do we follow our own way? That's the whole essence of sin, is that we want to do it our way. We know better. I'm going to do things my way. And if you don't like the way I do things, there's a highway. And so we come to God thinking that we know better, and he does know a whole lot better than we do. He knows that if we hold on to bitterness, if we hold on to unforgiveness, that it's going to hurt us. It's going to wound us. It's going to cripple us for the rest of our lives. He knows that if we have a stingy spirit, that's going to hurt us. He knows that if we're all so self-centered, that's going to hurt us. And it is by his great love and his great mercy that he saved us. And it is because of his love that he wants to transform us. He wants to love us out of all this bad stuff that has accumulated over such time. And he says, I want you guys to receive this And I want you to walk in the fullness of the love and joy that I have prepared for you. For the enemy comes to kill, to steal, to destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it very stingily. No, no. To have it abundantly. To have life in a measure that you never, never believed you could have. That you would get up in the morning and then you say, oh Lord, thank you that it's a new day. And God knows you. He knows me. He knows. He says, you know, I've created Armando. And there he is. And he gets up in the morning and sometimes he remembers my mercies are new for him today. Sometimes he remembers that this is a day that I have made, so he chooses to be rejoiceful in it. But there's some days that he forgets. And there's some days that he doesn't remember my promises. There's some days that he forgets to take every thought captive and make it obey the knowledge of God. Amen. But then there's days that Armando flies. There's days where he remembers who he is. He remembers that he is a son of the King. He remembers that his sins have been washed away and forgiven. Hallelujah. There's some days he remembers that God is good and God is good all the time. There's some days that he remembers that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the world says. What I say is what controls in his life. And so every time that I do that, every time that I choose to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing, guess what? I look in the mirror and I look a little bit more like Jesus than I did yesterday. Not the full image, but there's a little glimmer there. Because God wants to do that in our lives. And it's out of his love. He says, you can't do it on your own, but my Spirit's able. And before you know it, guys, you're able to love. You're able to have joy, true joy. You know, you're able to live at peace, not just with your own self, but with those around you. But it comes out of, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in the Father, believe also in me. It comes out of this relationship of, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And apart from me, you can't do anything. But as long as you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll ask whatever you want. It'll be done for you. Amen. Isn't that amazing? It is the love of God that calls us to himself. It is his love and his mercy and his power that allows us to be changed and transformed into the image of the one that one day we're going to see face to face. What an unusual love the Father has for us. What an unusual faith we declare. We declare that a guy that used to be dead is one day going to appear on a horse in the sky. Isn't that amazing? And right there when he does, we're going to look at him and we're going to say, Jesus, it's you, it's real, it's truth. Take me with you, Lord. And he's going to say, come on up. It's all ready. It's all prepared for you. And in the meantime, while we're here, the tough times are going to come. The all things may sometimes try to drown you down. But God is able to work all things together for good to those who love him, to those who know that even in the tough times, he's molding us into the image of Jesus. In the good and happy times, he's molding us into the image of Jesus. In the times when things are really, really stressful, guess what? He's molding us into Jesus' image. In the times when we're worshiping, you know, sometimes I feel like, oh, Lord, you know, come now. This is it. I'm ready. And then there's other times. You know, it's the Mondays or the Tuesdays when I feel like, Lord, don't let nobody look at me. I'm being transformed. Amen? Amen? Much less talk to me, right? What am I saying today? I'm saying that the Lord does hold us accountable for the decisions and choices that we make. But I'm also saying that the Lord is a God of great grace and great mercy. And there's one other thing, and that is that he who began that work in you, he is faithful to see it through until it's complete. There's a passage that my daughter likes, and that is, even when I am unfaithful, God remains faithful. It's true, because sometimes we are unfaithful, but he remains faithful. Amen? Yes. Praise team, I'm just about done. Would you please make your way to the front? Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A little bit further on, Jesus says, you didn't choose me. This is in verse 16. But I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit.